India, and earlier today out of Kashmir, Nalari, Kashmir. We've seen it several Kashmiri cities that we had images that we had shown earlier, proving the point that the International Day of Quds just continues to grow throughout the world. And fortunately, now more and more groups are sending in their images, and they're in Maqam, I'm not sure, Kashmir. We have other images coming in as people have participated in International Day of Quds. And again, reminder to everyone, I mean, these people, the majority of them, are fasting wherever they are in the world, adding to a sacrifice and symbolic of that we all have to sacrifice in order to achieve true freedom. And right now we're talking about the freedom of the Palestinians, and hopefully that will happen soon. I'm going to cross over here in Tehran. I believe I have my correspondent, Press TV's correspondent, Mahdi Abbasian, standing by. Mahdi, can you hear me?
Yes, Marcia.
Okay. Mahdi, tell me what's going on where you are.
Right now, I'm in front of Tehran University near Enghilab or Revolution Square. Today, the final Friday of Ramadan, the holy month of Ramadan, marks the Iranians mark the International Quds Day, as our viewers have been following today. Now, since 10 a.m. Local time, tens of thousands of Iranians have taken to the streets to show their support, their unwavering support for the Palestinian cause, for the Palestinian people who are facing oppression, atrocities, and other crimes by the Israeli regime. Now, the importance of this year's Quds Day is that right now there are some very important developments happening in the region and in the world. First of all, the Israeli regime is facing different sorts of crises from within and in the region. From within, they are having a problem with the right-wing cabinet of Benjamin Netanyahu. There are weeks-long protests in Israel against the cabinet, against the laws that they have there. There are clashes between Palestinians and Israelis, the Al-Aqsa Mosque. There have been many violations during the past weeks. There were clashes between Israeli forces and Palestinian worshippers during the holy month of Ramadan. I have to insist on that, because this is the month during which Muslims are supposed to celebrate the month, fast, pray, and spend time together with their families during iftar. However, Palestinians are facing Israeli crimes, Israeli aggression during this very holy month. Also, the Israeli regime is facing some other challenges in the international level. And why I'm saying that is because countries like Iran, which is one of the main supporters, if not the main supporter of Palestine, has made some moves, such as restoring our ties with Saudi Arabia and other regional powers, that we are trying to improve our ties so that we can strengthen the support for Palestinians. Also, something else that I have to mention is the, let's say, the power of the resistance axis. In recent years, the resistance in Palestine, in Lebanon, and other countries has improved a lot. And just a couple of days ago, a couple of weeks ago, when there were rocket attacks from, you know, Israel and the resistance forces were exchanging rockets, and this shows that right now Israel is facing, let's say, a threat from the resistance, that right now resistance front is stronger than ever and is willing and determined to stand against Israel and to respond to their atrocities. Marzia.
All right, well, thank you so much, Mehdi, for that update. That's Mehdi Abbasian, Press TV's correspondent on the ground there here in Tehran. And of course, he said that he was standing outside the Tehran University, and actually that's where the people will be gathering. They're making their way towards Tehran University for Friday prayer, as I said earlier, in Iran. The Day of Quds rallies actually culminate with the Friday prayers. So people will be making their way actually probably within 15, 20 minutes or so, will be making their way towards the Friday prayer area. Again, live images there out of Tehran, as we've been seeing throughout the country, that people have turned out in mass, not only in Iran, as you saw earlier, the images coming in from many other countries throughout the world. Saad, are you still with me, Saad Nimr? Do I have Saad with me? Okay, I'm not sure that I have Saad with me. Hopefully, we'll reestablish that contact again. Live images there out of Tehran. Live images there out of Tehran. As I said, people, young and old, making their way little by little towards the Friday prayer area. They were saying slogans, of course, throughout the day, and standing up for the solidarity with Palestinians. We've seen young and old actually coming out. So this transferring from generation to generation, the importance of the Palestinian cause. Saad, are you with me?
Yes, I am with you, okay. And yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Well, Saad, I want to, again, setting this up, because we're reaching almost the peak of the rallies, again, for viewers, I just want to break down what does it mean to be Palestinian? What is it like to be Palestinian now? The day-to-day that we see images here and there. We hear, unfortunately, about another young man being killed. But on a day-to-day basis, we had talked about this not too long ago, but I think it's important for people to really understand what it's like on the ground there.
Well, first of all, I have to say that as a Palestinian today, I'm really, really very happy and really think in a good mood, if you like, looking at the future, that we are going to really be victorious over this regime.
Inshallah.
Because of what's going on of solidarity all over the world, and especially today, it's make us really feel much better regarding that. But your question, you know, how to be as a Palestinian. First of all, you know, you can't even plan anything for any time to come, because every day there are various changes of roadblocks and, you know, killings and sometimes atrocities all over. Today we would wish to go to Jerusalem, to go to Al-Aqsa Mosque and to be there with all the prayers. But the problem is that the restrictions started from the very, very early this morning, because the people started from dawn, crawling from all over the West Bank to go to Al-Aqsa Mosque. And the Israeli had set so many roadblocks all over the West Bank to restrict the Palestinians from entering Jerusalem. Also, we have seen that for the our people, the Christian people, on the Easter celebration also and feast, where the Israeli yesterday and the day before, they have put lots of restrictions for the Christian to reach the church in Jerusalem. So I mean, this regime is against anyone who is not a Jew, exactly, whether it's Muslims or if they are Christian. Mm-hmm. Now, in Palestine, you would expect, and you live on the news, the daily news, local news, I mean, because you want to know the situation in each road that you are leaving. And we have set, you know, some apps as well on the Facebook that people do ask about the roads. and which is open and which is closed, because from day to day it's always there is restrictions by the Israelis and the roadblocks. Not only that, but also, you know, the attacks on the cities such as in Jenin or in Nablus or even in Ramallah and Beit Lahem and Lot and Hebron, all of the cities being attacked, and you never know when. And then suddenly you have a clash between the Palestinians resistance and the Israeli troops who are entering. And if it happens that you are just, you know, wandering in those areas, you might be shot without even being involved in anything, because these snipers on the top roof of most of the buildings, they start to target anyone moving around in the area during these kind of operations that they are doing in order to either arrest or to kill the Palestinian resistance. But in general, we can say that we live this day on day every day, but at the same time we are we know that we have to stay, and we know that we have to steadfast, and we know that we have to resist the occupation, and nothing will make us leave our country. In a minute you were talking to Zachary about the situation in South Africa during the apartheid regime. The difference is there are lots of similarities between the two regimes, but the difference is that the Israeli wanted us to leave the country, and what they are doing is an ethnic cleansing to the Palestinians, which is continuing since 1948 till today. And they are trying to push us out and make life really miserable for the Palestinians on the economic, social, political, and all levels. Every aspect of our life being touched by the occupation or being, interfered by the occupation. So you can't do anything without, you know, always thinking about this occupation. This is to make you leave the country and try to find somewhere else to live, mm-hmm. peacefully at least. But for the Palestinian, definitely we are not going to leave, nor we are going to surrender to these Israelis, and definitely we are going to continue our resistance till our victory.
Right, and you said, Saad, at the beginning of that, you are optimistic. You're more optimistic
yes.
today, right?
Yeah, more and more. Every day it's become more optimistic. I can see that the Israeli is now, or Israel as we know it, it's in the fall down, and it's, you know, counting its days to be ended as a regime.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us today. Saad Nimr, professor of political science, Beerzad University out of Ramallah. And viewers, you're looking at live images there, split screen out of Tehran, and the right side out of Alipur village out of India. Again, we've been looking at these images coming from throughout the world, and of course in Tehran, as the crowd gets more and more dense, it's almost reaching the time to start the Friday prayer, and of course that's how the rallies will culminate, and the ralliers will be going towards the site of Friday prayer, which is Tehran University. And of course, the khutbah, the sermon, will be dealing with the International Day of Quds today. I'd like to welcome my next guest.
Here we are back. This is the live coverage of the World Quds Day at IRIB English Radio. The racist and bestial violence against innocent people of Palestine by Netanyahu's cabinet has caused the martyrdom of over 90 people since the beginning of the year 2023. So the resistant groups have stressed the necessity of due measure against the Zionist regime, which intends to attack worshippers at Al-Aqsa Mosque. The new wave of tension began with the assaults of the Zionist regime forces on April 5th to the mosque and beating the worshippers there. Thus, scores of rockets were shot from southern Lebanon and Gaza to the occupied territories. However, most observers believe that the Zionist regime is too weak and breakable to even dream of any new war with Palestinian forces. Although, on April 6th, the Zionist regime missiled some areas in Gaza and Lebanon. The regime's aircrafts only attacked the targets with guided missiles from far distance. In other words, the equipment of resistance front has seriously challenged the main capability of the fabricated regime of Israel to use fighters and helicopters. Ismail Haniyeh, the head of Hamas political bureau, said, "We won't let the Israeli regime put into practice its designs of Judaization of Al-Quds and dividing of Al-Aqsa Mosque." Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, here we go live to Press TV headquarters to have the latest developments and news regarding the World Quds Day.
Government, the British political parties, and being so complicit in supporting the Zionist regime. We've seen various individuals basically blacklisted, or you have former MP Jeremy Corbyn, who's basically been a very adamant supporter of the Palestinian cause and has paid a major price for that in the UK. What is it going to take to turn these parties around? Because they seem to be so deeply entrenched with the Zionist regime.
That's very true. And I mean, I was a former member of parliament, as you said in your introduction there. And I was targeted by the Zionist lobby in this country, and was effectively driven out of parliament by their endeavours. And I think that was because, I mean, you mentioned Jeremy Corbyn, and he has been a strong supporter of the Palestinian cause for, 40, 50 years. But I think Jeremy's response to the bad faith actors, the people who were smearing him and smearing his supporters and talking about, the Palestinian activists as, in terms of, claiming they were extremists and things like this, his approach was to treat their bad faith accusations as if they were being made in good faith. So, he sought to appease the Zionist lobby rather than to challenge it. Now, I certainly did challenge it, and I paid the price for doing that. My disappointment, really, my concern was the unwillingness, the fear that was demonstrated by my colleagues in Parliament, who, instinctively, I think, are supportive of the Palestinian cause, but they were too fearful of the potential repercussions. So essentially what they did was to put their career in Parliament ahead of standing up for their principles instead of standing up for what's right. The irony, of course, is had they stood together in solidarity, with myself and others who were outside of Parliament, then I think we could have prevailed. So I think that was the tactic that was, it was a misplaced tactic to try and appease and allow people to be, for example, like myself, suspended from the Labour Party, and many activists, prominent Jewish pro-Palestinian activists, actually anti-Zionist Jewish members of the Labour Party, were targeted and were thrown out of the party. I mean, people, one guy, for example, both his parents survived Auschwitz, for goodness sake, and he was accused of indulging in anti-Semitism and bringing the Labour Party into disrepute, and he was thrown out. Now, I was standing up against that. Regrettably, I was the only MP that was prepared to do so. Unfortunately, Jeremy stood on the sidelines and didn't actually fight back. I think they took a tactical decision that, the way forward was to, not to confront them like that in order to try to get into power and then maybe to, make the changes then. But I think that was a mistake, and it's proven to be a mistake because, as we've said, they came for me and they came for others, and, we were...
Well, Chris, sorry to jump in here. Isn't the significance of all of this is how so many of these Western governments have been infiltrated and are being controlled by the Zionists, that politicians don't have the freedom to dare say anything against Israel, or they will pay a major price. I mean, what has to happen to break that? Because basically, it seems like your nation and so many others are being held hostage by them. You no longer get to represent your people how they would want you to vote or whatever, but you have to vote or you have to go a certain way because of the influence of the Zionists in your country. I mean, what's your perspective about that?
They certainly do wield a lot of influence over the political class and indeed, across, influential opinion formers in the country. However, in spite of that, support for the Palestinian cause in the United Kingdom and in other countries around the world, as we're seeing, is growing exponentially, actually. I mean, a couple of years ago, following the, bombardment of Gaza by the Zionist entity, we saw rallies all over the world, of course, but I can speak from my own perspective in the UK, and from my own perspective in terms of my home city of Derby. It's a relatively small city in the middle of the country. We saw the biggest demonstration in Derby's history of people coming out on the street who were absolutely appalled by what was happening in Gaza at the hands of the Zionist entity. And we had a huge rally, and that was followed the following week by a march through the city. And it was unprecedented. We were seeing people coming out of the shops, coming out of the cafes and the pubs, and joining in the rally, joining in the march, or applauding on the side of the street. So, there is a massive disconnect, it seems to me, mm-hmm. between the political class and the people that they seek to represent. And there is now a growing move, both in the United States and in the United Kingdom, to actually, create a new political entity, a new political vehicle, because people are just fed up, frankly, of the politicians who are, dancing to the tune of the Zionist entity. But not just that. I mean, they tend to represent, the interests of corporate capitalists, both political, major political parties in the United States and in the United Kingdom as well. And people are increasingly switched off by that and are looking for an alternative. Now, I'm fairly confident that alternative will emerge in the not-too-distant future. It may not emerge sufficiently at the next general election in the UK, which is coming next year, but I think we will see a significant challenge, because there was a recent opinion poll, taken in our country, which showed that 2 out of 3 Britons want to see a new political vehicle emerging to take on both the Labour Party and the ruling Conservative Party in this country. And part of that, I think, is driven, by the kind of foreign policy stances on issues like, Palestine. So, I'm sort of hopeful that, this political class, which is in hock, is in thrall to the Zionists, will be flushed away. And I think when they see the writing on the wall, some of these people, in my experience anyway, they put their career first. And when they see, the potentiality of, taking the stance that they've taken, actually working against and working mm-hmm. negatively, potentially them losing their careers, losing their seats, then we might see a kind of change in attitude. But certainly I think a new political vehicle, will emerge. I know I'm in touch with, people in the United States as well who are building a third party to challenge the mainstream political parties. And they take a very strong, you know, anti-imperialist stance in regards to, you know, foreign policy. So, you know, the future, I think, is looking positive. But, of course, in the end, it's going to be, you know, it's in the hands of the Palestinian people. And I think, right. you know, the fact that the resistance is growing and is, you know, much more effective than it's been, the support that they've been receiving from Iran in particular, I think, is very, very significant. And, you know, so, yes, I mean, like, you know, Barak has said, you know, the days are numbered. And, you know, I think even the Zionists, you know, prominent Zionists see the writing on the wall.
Okay, stay with me, Chris. Let me cross over to Gaza City and welcome Palestinian political activist Moti Abu Musabeh. Thank you so much for being with us. I'd like to hear your views about the your perspective in dealing with International Quds Day. And, of course, you're in Gaza. You have suffered a lot from the Zionist entity. Tell me about, are you optimistic that actually these rallies make a difference, the solidarity makes a difference, and that there, it increases the pressure on the Zionist regime?
Well, thanks for having me. It's my pleasure, actually, to join you in this special coverage regarding the International Quds Day. Yes, indeed, in my opinion, that this anniversary is unprecedented, is unlike unprecedented anniversaries because of many developments and because of many reasons, actually. First of all, it comes amid the significant and remarkable changes regarding the political situation in the region as a whole, generally, and in the Palestinian territories and in the Israeli occupation itself, particularly. Generally, as you know, that nowadays the Palestinian people are subjugated to an unprecedented wave of the Israeli terrorism practice left center by the Israeli right-wing government that leaves no stone unturned without targeting the Palestinian people and changing the situation in Al-Aqsa Mosque and Judaizing Jerusalem and Al-Quds city. So this kind of a brutality shown by the Israeli occupation and by the Israeli current government actually assures the need to have this kind of solidarity. The Palestinian people in this time actually is a dire need more than any time ever to be supported, to be assisted, to be upheld by the Arab countries and Muslim nation as a whole, because the Palestinian, it's not acceptable for any Muslim worldwide to stand looking at the Palestinian people and witnessing the Palestinian people fighting the Israeli occupation alone. Today, I think that this event and this International Al-Quds Day holds a clear message for the whole world that the Palestinian people is no longer facing the Israeli occupation alone. The Palestinian people nowadays is supported by the live forces of the nation, of Muslim nation and countries worldwide, because the Palestinian cause today became the central cause of the Muslim nation and Arab countries. It's not the cause of the Palestinian people. So it's very important to understand that nowadays, this kind of significant changes and developments on the ground cast their shadow on the Palestinian cause. And Israel, by the way, the Israeli occupation, by the way, realizes that the Palestinian people today would be more defiant and would be more stronger to face the Israeli occupation and to resist the Israeli occupation. As you know, that the Israeli occupation has been using its strategic principle and strategic policy to divide and rule between the Palestinian people and Arab countries and Arab regimes and Muslim nation as a whole in order to liquidate the Palestinian cause, in order to isolate the Palestinian people. It's worth mentioning that the last developments regarding restoring ties between Saudi Arabia, Iran, and Saudi Arabia and Syria, and before that in Hamas and Syria, mm-hmm. all this kind of restoring ties and reconciliation agreements actually plays a vital role and a major role in supporting and upholding and fortifying the position of the resistance axis in the region, and undermines, on the other hand, it undermines the choices the Israeli occupation has in order to isolate the Palestinian cause and entrench the occupation on the Palestinian land. Today, the Israeli occupation really faces the existential threat. It really understands what does it mean to face the existential threat over the unity, because of the unity that is getting more and more stronger in order to face the Israeli occupation. I think that we are, as Palestinian people, as regional life forces, and as Muslim nation as a whole, are standing on a turning point regarding the discourse, regarding the course of the struggle between the Palestinian people and the Israeli occupation. So I do believe that if there is any kind of message that this International Al-Quds Day holds for the whole world generally and the Israeli occupation precisely, it's the message of unity, that all fronts nowadays are standing united in confrontation and in facing the Israeli occupation. And Israel nowadays realizes more than any time ever that it's no longer able to attack the Palestinian people, to persecute the Palestinian people. And I think it has become a matter of fact that taking into account all this kind of considerations, that the axis of resistance in the region is getting stronger. On the other hand, the Israeli occupation is getting weaker and weaker.
Can you hear me? So sorry, I just want to jump in here. You just talked about the axis of resistance getting stronger. I want to talk about that because we talked about the solidarity of the Islamic Ummah in general and all the people in general and standing behind the Palestinians. I want to look at the Palestinians, the various Palestinian factions themselves. Do you see growing solidarity between the various Palestinian factions and also working with the resistance, and that this is going to make a difference? Or tell me your analysis, first of all, of that side of things.
Yes, indeed. Every solidarity event, every solidarity action actually matters. Because, as you know, that the Israeli occupation strategy, as I've mentioned, that was totally based on divide and rule. Israel is mainly working on dividing the Palestinian people, dividing the regional parties and the regional forces, and isolating the Palestinian cause. So whenever there is any kind of solidarity activity with the Palestinian people, it actually undermines the efforts practiced by the Israeli occupation to liquidate the Palestinian cause. It actually bolsters and fortifies the position of the Palestinian people and pushes the Palestinian people to become more defiant to resist the Israeli occupation. It's very important for the Palestinian people to feel always supported by the whole Ummah and by the whole Arab countries and Muslim countries. Because, as you know, that if there is any serious steps regarding regaining unity and ending any kind of conflicts and disputes between Arab countries, the Israeli occupation really feels that it's in real danger, an existential threat. Yes, it's very true that the Palestinian resistance factions nowadays and the Palestinian people as a whole, and you can understand that you can feel how the Palestinian people become more eager and more stronger to face the Israeli occupation and to resist the Israeli occupation whenever there is any kind of support. And let's be clear that the ongoing conflicts and disputes between the Arab countries and among Arab countries and regimes played a vital role for emboldening the Israeli occupation and encouraging the Israeli occupation to take further steps to occupy more Palestinian land, to kill more Palestinian people, and to entrench the occupation in the Palestinian land. Yes, it's very true and it's very clear that the solidarity actions and any kind of solidarity event actually plays a vital role in supporting the Palestinian people and in undermining the space that the Israeli occupation has in order to seize the Palestinian rights.
All right, thank you for those comments, Muti. I'm going to cross back over to UK. Chris, if I still have you with me. Chris, I want to look at the changing dynamics in the region and how that affects the Israeli regime, because We see the situation, whether we're talking about the growing relations between various countries, whether it's talking about Saudi Arabia and Iran or Syria and what is happening as far as not being as isolated from the Arab regimes. In general, with these difference in dynamics, the significance of this and dealing with the Israeli regime, because we have seen more and more, and we're talking about the resistance and pressuring the Israeli regime. Your perspective in that, can it make a difference? Will it make a difference?
I think it certainly will make a difference. And what I think is also significant is the geopolitical influence of countries other than the United States of America. Of course, they've been the kind of world dominant in power in this unipolar world since the end of the Cold War. But we're seeing now, as you mentioned, the rapprochement between Saudi Arabia and Iran, brokered by China. China is an increasingly important player on the international stage. And obviously Russia's involvement in Syria as well, of course, was also very significant. So I think, you know, the geopolitical map is changing. Mm-hmm. The United States' role is diminishing. Support for the Palestinian cause, as we've said, is rising. The axis of resistance that you just talked about, I think, is also you know, another really significant factor. And all these things, I think, are coming together to, if you like, create a perfect storm in terms of pushing the case for a Palestinian liberation. And so I think, yes, definitely, the world is changing, and different power relationships that we've perhaps taken for granted in the past, as I mentioned, the dominance of the United States taken for granted in the past, and so on. It's all changing, and so that I think bodes very incredibly positively, in my opinion, anyway, for improvements in the situation in general in the Middle East, of course, but more specifically in relation to liberation for Palestine.
All right. Well, thanks, Chris. So, Moti, back to Gaza City. I want you to talk a little bit about Gaza because, of course, Gaza has been under so much pressure. And, of course, the illegal blockade that has been used against Gaza. And, again, when we talk about corporate media, very little is talked about on a day-to-day basis of the situation in Gaza and what people face. I want you to use this opportunity right now, Moti, and to talk about on a day-to-day basis what the people of Gaza face because of so many of these illegalities that they're subjected to because of the Israeli regime.
As you know, that the Palestinian people here in Gaza Strip are suffering from the ongoing suffocating siege for more than 15 years or 16 years in a row, which mounts actually to be a crime against the humanity. So this kind of ongoing siege actually touched all life aspects for the Palestinian people. It deteriorated seriously the general life and the daily life of the Palestinian people. Today, we literally, as Palestinians here in Gaza Strip, are living in an open-air prison over the ongoing suffocating siege. And Israel deliberately imposes this kind of siege in order to deprive the Palestinian people to practice their legitimate right and to practice their basic human rights. Today, it's a matter of shame for all over the world to stand in silence looking at the Palestinian people here in Gaza suffering this kind of brutal and inhumane siege that no one on earth could accept such a siege for any country or for any people. But generally, let's face the truth, it's a matter of double standards for the international community, basically, to stand silent for having this kind of inhumane siege when it comes to the Palestinian people. While on the other hand, this international community raises its voice when it comes to any other place or elsewhere around the world or across the globe And we are witnessing how the international community is dealing with the Ukrainian crisis. Today, our main problem as Palestinian people suffering under the persecution of the Israeli occupation is the double standards and the way the international community looks at the Palestinian cause and deals with the Palestinian people. Today, the bias of the international community to the Israeli occupation at the expense or on the backs of the Palestinian people is very cruel, is very blatant. And I think it would go down in history as a disgrace for the international community and all human rights organizations to stand in silence towards this kind of brutal crime and inhumane crime. Today, the Palestinian people, actually, we have generations grew and raised under the ongoing blockade and the siege. And you can imagine how the situation generally, it's not about the economic conditions, it's not about the financial situation here in Gaza. It goes beyond that. It goes deeper than that, actually, because it affected and negatively influenced all aspects of the daily life of the Palestinian people, the social and the psychological situation. You can imagine how the situation would look like for the Palestinian children here in Gaza.
Yes.
when they witnessed multiple and repetitive Israeli aggressions, when the Israeli occupation air forces targeted the Palestinian populated areas here in Gaza Strip, leaving the Palestinian people here in an unprecedented situation regarding the suffering of the repercussions and the circumstances and consequences of any kind of aggressions. What I'm saying is that there are many unseen aspects and sides of the ongoing Israeli siege. It's not only reduced or restricted to the economic conditions. It goes beyond that. It goes deeper than. And I think, and I do believe, and our main recommendation and our main call here is that we need to have serious steps in order to stop this kind of war crime and against the humanity crime practiced left, right, and center day and night against the Palestinian people. I do believe that this kind of the ongoing siege practiced and imposed by the Israeli occupation would never push the Palestinian people to raise the white flag. If the Israeli occupation was counting on pushing the Palestinian people to corner or to surrender and to raise the white flag, I think today Israel, more than any time ever, realizes clearly that this is not going to happen. The Palestinian people would never raise the white flag, would never accept for the Israeli occupation to twist the arm of the Palestinian resistance here in Gaza Strip or elsewhere in the Palestinian territories. Let's be clear that the main strategy and the main objective for having such a continuous and perpetual Israeli siege and blockade on Gaza Strip is only to isolate Gaza Strip or to separate between the different fronts and the different arenas inside the Palestinian territories. This is the strategic goal and purpose that the Israeli occupation is seeking to achieve, to isolate Gaza in order to make Gaza preoccupied by its internal situation, internal conditions for the resistance faction is in order to handle the daily life of the Palestinian people and to avert their way away from the main objective and main purpose that we are looking for and we are seeking for, which is liberating and defending ourselves and liberating the Palestinian lands.
All right. Thank you so much for those comments. Viewers, you're looking at live images there coming out of India, actually, at a rally there, and then earlier images out of Kashmir, where people there had gathered and marched on this, the International Day of Quds. And, of course, throughout Iran today, there have been massive rallies, and some are still continuing. Most of them will be culminating as Friday prayer has begun to start. Again, we've had live images from various parts of the world, And earlier we talked about images that had come in days ago that in some of the non-Muslim countries, as some of them have held the International Day of Quds rallies earlier, and then some others actually will be holding them even the weekend, because of course Friday is a work day in the majority of these non-Muslim countries. Again, these are live images there out of Mahova, India, as those images are coming in from a rally in that part of the world. I've been talking all morning to various guests and looking at various aspects of this International Day of Quds and its significance. On the right side of your screen, out of Bushehr, Iran, you see images coming in there from Bushehr. Again, looking at various aspects of this situation. And now talking to my guests in Gaza City, and I think it's important that people understand what the Palestinians are facing on a day-to-day basis. And, of course, those in Gaza, it's a totally different situation as it is like its own island. Moti, I want to talk about the aspect of really being disconnected almost, you know, from the West Bank, how they try to divide you. And also, these are people sometimes with relatives in areas that they can no longer go to, own land in areas that they can no longer see. I mean, what does that do to the overall psyche of the people of Gaza?
The brutal siege imposed by the Israeli occupation is an inhumane mean used by the Israeli occupation to divide the Palestinian people. The main objective and the strategic objective the Israeli occupation is working on using this kind of siege is to divide and to separate and isolate the Palestinian fronts. And I think that what is really annoying the Israeli occupation nowadays, and Israel today feels more than any time ever that it faces a real stake, is that the Palestinian people, despite this ongoing siege and blockade imposed for more than 17 years in a row, the Palestinian people here in Gaza are still aware and still care about the general situation, about the Palestinian people in the West Bank, about what is going on in Jerusalem, about what is going on in Al-Aqsa Mosque. So I think that today the Palestinian people, despite this kind of suffering, is more eager to raise their voice that they cannot be separated. The Israeli occupation attempts to separate the Palestinian people and isolate every front from the other France goes in vain, actually. We cannot accept for this as Palestinian people, because we do realize that we cannot liberate our lands. We cannot resist the Israeli occupation if there is any kind of division. We can stand tall in front of the Israeli occupation when we are united. And it's very important for us as Palestinian people to be united. And yes, it's true that there is undescribable kind of suffering for the Palestinian people, especially when it comes to the way they contact the Palestinian people here in Gaza, contact with their relative and with other part of the Palestinian people in the West Bank. But despite all of that kind of suffering that the Palestinian people are facing on a daily basis, it's not acceptable for the Palestinian people just to accept the de facto, to accept the Israeli steps and measures. No, today the Palestinian people is much more defiant, is much more stronger to raise the voice and to speak up and to resist any kind of any Israeli measures taken in order
what
to
is
deepen
key, Moti?
The division inside the Israeli the Palestinian community.
What do you think is key to that resilience of the Palestinian people, not only in Gaza but in the West Bank? I mean, we're talking about many decades of oppression, of theft, of unbelievable suffering. Tell me, what is key to the resilience of the Palestinian people?
Yes, the key issue here is that the Palestinian people do believe from their hearts that They are the real owners of this land, and the Israeli occupation is nothing but an abhorrent occupation. And it's just a matter of time for the Israeli occupation to end and the Palestinian people to regain their legitimate right. It's all about our belief and and how do we belong to this land. And this kind of belief and this kind of how we do feel about our land, our rights. And yes, indeed, it's the price and it's the tax, actually, of living under the any occupation. But if history teaches us a lesson, as an occupied people, we do believe that at the end of the day, the Palestinian people would regain their time. And no matter how the Israeli occupation lasted and existed on the Palestinian people, one day it will reach an end. And this occupation, this kind of persecution, cannot last forever. And every occupied people gained their liberation and the freedom by keeping resistance the occupiers, keeping resistance the colonialism and the colonial countries. So it's a matter of belief. It's a matter of how do we look at the situation. Today, if the Israeli occupation, and as you know that the Israeli occupation from the very beginning of the establishment of this abhorrent occupation on the Palestinian people, the major Israeli prominent leaders, they were counting that the Palestinian elderlies will die and the children will forget. Yes, the elderlies died and passed away, but the children, the Palestinian children, never forget about their rights. Today, the Palestinian generations and the Palestinian children actually became more aware about their rights, more aware about their legitimate rights and basic rights in this land. We are more attached and connected to this land. And the Israeli occupation one day will end. And we do believe that this day is getting more and more, it's getting closer. Mm-hmm. And we are more actually steps close to our liberation and the freedom, because the general situation and the last developments inside the Israeli occupation reveal clearly that the Israeli occupation today is suffering. It's literally standing on the verge of collapse over the spiral situation and the emerging political crisis that the Israeli occupation is experiencing nowadays. Yes, it's true that the Israeli brutality is overwhelming the whole Palestinian people. The Palestinian people are suffering across all Palestinian territories, especially with this kind of hardline Israeli government that tends to change the situation and to impose their religious agendas on the Palestinian people and to deny any kind of any Palestinian rights, especially or even the right of existence of the Palestinian people. Today, they are the ministers included and involved in this abhorrent Israeli government. They are explicitly and openly talking about denying the existence of the Palestinian people, enforcing the Palestinian people, expelling the Palestinian people to out of their lands, out of their properties, occupying all the West Bank lands. So we are in front of an unprecedented wave of the Israeli terrorism. But generally, I do believe, I'm very optimistic as a Palestinian mm-hmm. people, and I do believe that this kind of brutality would never, let me say, help the Israeli occupation to overcome or to end or to liquidate the Palestinian cause. But on the other hand, this kind of brutality is meant to fortify the Palestinian people and to bolster the Palestinian position.
All right. Thank you so much for those comments, Moti Abu Musabbeh. Looking at live images now out of Shiraz, Iran, people are still on the streets there in Shiraz and most of the other cities. Things are starting to actually calm down inside of Iran, taper off because of the start of Friday prayer. But still, there are some cities that we see, for example, Shiraz and Bushehr, that still is at its peak of ralliers on the street. And now in these in multi-images you see on your screens, viewers, we have out of Srinagar, Kashmir, that people are rallying there, the International Day of Quds. And we've seen several images coming out of Kashmir today. from at least three or four other cities besides Srinagar. Here on your split images are several images here coming in from Tehran, from Bushehr, and from Shiraz. Of course, Tehran is starting to taper off, but Bushehr and Shiraz still seem to be at the peak of the rallies. And of course, we've been bringing in these images from throughout the world, where we have gotten the images coming in from the eastern part of the world mostly. But of course, we saw Kuala Lumpur earlier, and we have seen now India, a couple of cities in India, in Kashmir, and of course throughout Iran. And then we will be getting other images as the time gets later in various parts of the world. We also saw images earlier out of Dar es Salaam. And now we're looking at these images out of Kashmir, Srinagar, Kashmir, Bushehr, Shiraz, and Tehran inside of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Again, I have to reiterate to viewers who may not know that the people, the majority of people that you see on the streets throughout the world are actually people who are fasting. They haven't been eating. They haven't been drinking. And yet they make it a point to come out. This, the last Friday of the month of Ramadan, of course, that was declared the International Day of Quds in 1979 by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Iran, Imam Khomeini.
Welcome back. This is the live coverage of World Boats Day rallies here at IRIB English Radio. And I was saying, in addition to the developments in Palestine and the Israeli regime cabinet, regional developments are also going through to against what the Zionist regime likes. The so-called Abraham Accords or Abraham Agreement has almost been forgotten with the racist and extremist measures of Netanyahu. The agreement, which had been signed in 2000, was aimed at developing new relations with Arab countries, but he has not been able even to travel to the countries of signatories. The latest attack on Al-Aqsa also urged some of the Arab officials to speak of the closing of the Zionist regime's embassies in their countries. Famous Iraqi figure Muqtada Sadr wrote in a Twitter account, "After demonstrations in some of the Zionist cities against their politicians and policies, the great rogue Benjamin Netanyahu has put his finger on a sensitive point and ignited violence in Al-Quds and Al-Aqsa in a bid to get rid of his opponents. These aggressions should be ended. And the first step is that the Arab and Islamic countries quickly decide to close the embassies of the Zionist regime. And if this measure is not constructive, another serious stance should be adopted." The reverse count for the Zionist regime has begun since years ago, and in the near future, the entire Palestine will be liberated, God willing. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, we go live to Press TV headquarters, where we will cover the latest developments and news regarding the World Quds Day rallies. Stay with us, please.
Today, the Israeli political class, for multiple and repetitive times, actually are talking about that the Israeli occupation now is standing literally on the verge of collapse over the general situation, over the surrounding threats, the existential threats that the Israeli occupation is facing nowadays regarding the internal spiral situation and the emerging political deadlock it's experiencing from the internal situation and the general surrounding situation regarding the united fronts that become more united and more strong to face and more defiant to attack the Israeli occupation. And the whole world actually has witnessed how the Lebanese front actually engaged with the last Israeli aggression against the Palestinian worshippers and the prayers in Al-Aqsa Mosque. This kind of restoring the unity between the different fronts surrounding the Israeli occupation is the main threat that the Israeli occupation now is caring about. Yes, we should be more optimistic regarding or having this kind of developments, and which is unprecedented, by the way, for the Israeli occupation and for the region as a whole. Today, as you know, that the Israeli occupation for decades has been using the strategy of dividing the fronts, using the strategy of attacking every front alone or separately. But nowadays, the Palestinian people, united with different fronts and supported by different people, by all people worldwide, all free people worldwide. Yes, Israel today realizes that it's no longer able to attack the Palestinian people without being attacked by any different front, even from Syria or Lebanon or any other front. We can say that what is going on nowadays is very serious. What is going on nowadays is definitely goes in favor of the Palestinian people and and on contrary, the Israeli occupation is getting weaker, and we are witnessing some kind of regression for the Israeli occupation. We understand that no matter how the Israeli occupation cements its grip on the Palestinian people or tightens its grip on the Palestinian worshippers in Al-Aqsa Mosque or attacked Gaza or the West Bank or elsewhere in Palestine, it would be faced by a wide solidarity from the free people worldwide, and they would be faced by defiant Palestinian resistance and resilient Palestinian resistance factions. Today, the Palestinian resistance factions actually are more able to deter the Israeli occupation and to impose their conditions on the Israeli occupation. And the Israeli occupation realizes this very, very, very well and clearly, that it's the situation is totally unlike the precedent situation. Today, the Palestinian people, even in Gaza Strip or the West Bank, or the Jerusalem or Lebanon or elsewhere, they are able to deter the Israeli occupation. It's not an easy mission for the Israeli occupation to go inside or to attack the Palestinian worshippers in Al-Aqsa Mosque without being attacked or resisted by the Palestinian people or elsewhere. I think the main battle between the Palestinian people nowadays and the Israeli occupation is the battle of the unity of fronts. Today, the Israeli occupation is strategically working on separating and isolating the fronts, while the Palestinian people is moving and is working on uniting their fronts and uniting all fronts affected or engaged with the Israeli occupation.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Moti Abu Musabib, Palestinian political activist, Gaza City, for being with me. And also thank you, Chris Williamson, former British MP out of Derby, UK. I appreciate both of you being with us this on our continuing coverage on this International Day of Quds, looking at rallies and meetings that are being held throughout the world. And of course, we have had images coming in from so many parts of the world. And we saw many images, of course, coming from various cities inside the Islamic Republic of Iran that basically has reached a peak. It's 1257 here in Iran. So basically, we have the majority of the demonstrations now have reached a point that they're in Friday prayer. We have live images now coming from other parts here out of Bangkok, Thailand, that people there have taken to the streets on this, the International Day of Quds. And, of course, we've had other images coming in from the east earlier, whether we're talking about Kuala Lumpur, or we saw from several cities in India and Kashmir. And now these images are from Bangkok, Thailand, that we have been getting images in from various parts of the world as we continue our coverage here today, this on the 44th day of International Quds Day, a day that was commemorated back in 1979 following the victory of the revolution inside of Iran. I'd like to, I believe I have Jamal Juma out of Ramallah. Are you with me? Founder and coordinator of Stop the Wall campaign. Thank you so much for being with us. Well, Jamal, I'm going to start actually on a different note with you, and that is the note of optimism, because I've been talking to many different people today, and it's been interesting that there seems to be a change. It seems to be more of a sense of optimism that the end is nearer than perhaps could have been imagined into the Israeli regime. I don't know. I mean, you're in Ramallah. You tell me how you feel. What's your perspective? Are you more optimistic today than you were before or not?
Yani, I think the things that drive the Palestinians all the time to continue, like, steadfast and resist the colonization and occupation and this colonial apartheid regime is the hope and their deep belief that, yani, one day we are going to end this atrocities and this kind of regime that we witness.